I want to do better, be better, and live better. And also prove that it can be done, too. For me, with being named after him, I feel like that if I don't make the change within our family tree, then I think I will be a generational thief.
Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is our 104th guest episode, Generational Responsibility. Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is our 104th guest episode, Generational Responsibility, with William Lee Jr. William E. Lee Jr. is a best-selling author and the founder of Lee's Press and Publishing Company, LLC, a full-service self-publishing company in Charlotte, North Carolina. William also owns a trucking and logistics company and is partnered with a multitude of other businesses, as well as sits on various executive boards. William was asked to be a partner of Second Chance CDFI Bank alongside founder Cherie Darien because of his hard work, dedication, commitment, and his business acumen to serving others and making a difference. In 2011, William was nominated for the Just For Him Affair and was blessed to be the recipient of the Hardest Working Man in North Carolina Award. William has since then dedicated his life to helping other entrepreneurs and executing business ideas. As a young, talented, and gifted 35-year-old entrepreneur himself, Mr. Lee's desire is to inspire and make an impact on the lives of others. William is the author of the best-selling book entitled Breaking the Mold, Why Waste Talent, a book that sheds light on his upbringing, principles everyone can follow to overcome, and how to use your gifts and talents to create a successful business. William has been called with a purpose to help others avoid mistakes and live a life of value. He was the first in his family to attend college after dropping out of high school in 2004. He's mentored and counseled youth in the community and has spoken across the country to various high schools and colleges. William grew up with an entrepreneurial drive which instilled a desire and a mission to leave a godly legacy for his family and generations to come. Listen in as Will shares his entrepreneurial journey. We discuss the many hats worn in the entrepreneurial role and generational responsibility. William, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this moment.
Certainly. We are super excited to dive into your practice. But before we do, I want to rewind the clock just a bit. Let's go back to the days of junior high or high school. Let's think about a time when an aunt or an uncle or a mentor or a teacher would ask you what it is you wanted to do when you grow up. What did you think the future was going to look like for you?
What did I think the future was going to look like for me? Yeah. I've always had a mindset of being free and not controlled and creating my own destiny. I've always had a mindset ever since I was young to have generational wealth. You have to own and you have to own multiple. And it's always good to have multiple streams of income because you never know what tomorrow may bring. So I've always had a mindset of being free, creating my own pathway, of course, with God in the center of my life, but just creating that pathway for myself and creating a legacy and leaving one.
You had your sight set. You knew what the vision was for you, and you knew that you wanted to create multiple different streams from the get-go, which is not like most entrepreneurs. A lot of entrepreneurs are kind of thrown into the journey through one manner or another, or a life circumstance or a pivot that comes along. So tell me, where did the inspiration come from? Where do you feel like that was derived? What was it that guided you and made you recognize immediately in life that that was the direction or the path that you wanted to take?
Was raised up in a good family. So, you know, those principles were always instilled in me. I went to church all my life, but I never had a father figure in the house. I never had my father in the house, right? And my father lived right down the road from me, right? And to me, I am not bitter because he's always said something positive to me towards the present and the future. He've always said, you know, go after your dream, son, you're going to make it. And then he always say to this day, I don't call you son because you mine. I call you son because you shine. Those words really meant a lot. They always did something to me. And another thing he would always say if son, if you want to keep all your money, don't have no babies. And so I'm 35 now. And that's probably why I don't have any children, because I've that's always stuck with me. I'm named after my father. My father is 50 some years old. He never had his own place, never had his own car. And today he's still there with his mom, but I'm named after him. And I don't want to be like that. I want to do better, be better, and live better. And to also prove that it can be done, too. For me, with being named after him, I feel like that if I don't make the change within our family tree, then I think I will be a generational thief. That's what motivates me. Honestly, I am the only entrepreneur in my family, and my family know it. I've always been an entrepreneur. I had a t-shirt business in high school. I sold shoes out of the trunk of my car. In high school, of course, I was in the streets, did some stuff that I wasn't supposed to do, right? But that just comes with not having a father in your life and being around the wrong crowd and then not having the mentors or that leadership, mm-hmm. you know, that I could go to. But as I got older, though, I had came across some mentors and they put me on the other side of the tracks, changed my thinking and different things like that. You know, a lot of people seen potential in me, so they wanted to sow into my life with just being there, words and information, not money at all, but just grooming and shaping me.
Mm-hmm. And that is the story. That truly is the story. You know, you started off in a position where maybe your father wasn't in the home, but he was still a part of your life and instrumental enough to not only set an example, be it positive or negative, whichever way you want to view that, it was an example. And not only did he provide the example of where it was you knew, you recognized you didn't want to land, but he also provided that inspiration throughout the entire journey. And that's something that I consistently tell my audience, surround yourself with the right people, because the right people are going to build you up. They're going to tell you those words and those pieces that are going to stick with you, whether you recognize it or not. And they're going to shift that mindset and that view and that opportunity thought process that is so vital to this journey. You've been an entrepreneur your whole life. You said it in the beginning, but then you really followed it up with selling sneakers out of the trunk of your car, selling stuff at high school. You've been an entrepreneur your whole life. You recognize that taking on a job and taking on a 9-to-5 or listening to somebody else's command was not of interest to you, and you wanted to be in control and in charge of your future. So you had mentors, you had those who were beginning to guide you. What do you feel like were some of the first steps that you took as you really decided, okay, it's time to start my own business?
It's a great question. That brings me back to what happened in 2011. And so I was working a job and I was always working my business too. So after I got off, right, what I would do is I would go straight home and I would work on my graphic design business and doing work for clients and so forth. What I didn't do was go to the bars, go to happy hour and stuff, or just go home and not do anything, right? What I did was totally different. And then one day I got on my knees. I remember it like it was yesterday. I got on my knees. I prayed intentionally, right? With the expectations of something was going to happen. And I prayed and I asked God to really just come into my life and allow me to work for myself full time, to have a business that I can work full time with his will, right? I mean, not just my request, I wanted him to be in it too. So, and then, I mean, that's exactly what happened. 3 weeks later after that, the company said it was downsizing and they was laying off. And I said, wow, okay, is this good or bad? Did he answer my dream or is it just happening, right? And so I remember it like it was yesterday. I only had just a few $100 in my account. And then this lady inspired me to write my book and share my story. And I'm thinking in my head, why in the world would I write a book when I need to make money? Mm-hmm. And so I wrote the book. It took me 4 months to write the book. And then from there, when I was writing, what I was doing was marketing the book at the same time, right? With a release date, kind of like a countdown. And a lot of people was following me and they was interested in the book coming out, right? It was my very first one, and the way I marketed it had really got a lot of people's attention. And so when I released the book became a bestseller in 3 days, and I got a lot of speaking engagements. A lot of people wanted me to start helping them with their books. And I was like, you know what? Why not start a publishing company, right? Because as an entrepreneur, you always want to go into something to solve a problem if there's a need. And I saw a lot of people come to me, wanted me to help them with their book. So I started the company and I took it serious. And I was speaking, but I had kind of laid back from the speaking circuit because I wanted to have a company that was going to run while I was speaking. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was kind of looking at Magic Johnson. Like, I mean, look at Magic Johnson. He has all these companies that are running while he's speaking. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to be like that. Right. Have a company that's still operating while I'm on a plane or while I'm in a school speaking to students or just doing whatever the case may be. So I just kind of stayed in the area with building the company, took it serious. I still have the company operating since then. I'm in the process of starting up a bank nets. And I believe God, he really has his hand on my life. 2011 to 2021, and I haven't had a job. That was God. Yeah, I am ready to get back on the speaking circuit, of course, and get out there and share my message. I mean, my story is a little bit more deeper than this, so definitely want to get back out there and speak. I know this COVID has really put a hardship on a lot of people and a lot of opportunity as well, too.
You wanted to be an entrepreneur. You knew that's what you wanted to do. But much like many of us, we go into the traditional workforce intending to have a steady paycheck of some sort. And mm-hmm. much like many of us, we're thrown into the journey fully by a moment of a pivot. What do you feel like were some of the hiccups that you experienced throughout your journey? What do you feel like, you know, were the difficulties of taking those first steps as you recognized, okay, the position's not there and I'm not going back to a traditional job? I'm way more interested in providing this opportunity to both myself as to authors across the globe who are interested in the publishing aspect. What do you feel like were some of the hiccups that you ran into as you started the journey?
Some of the hiccups I had, not properly knowing how to structure a team, and that's a lot, right? Just as far as one person is running the business, and then you have to control, or you had to manage every aspect of the business as well. The business, you got to manage yourself, your clients, and you got to manage your contractors. So, and then you also got to manage your cash flow and stuff, know how to do profit and loss, balance sheet, all those things I was learning. I mean, those are some of the hiccups I had.
Mm-hmm. Just that learning curve, the initial.
Yeah, just the learning curve.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember those days too. Like, okay, so I'm an entrepreneur. How do I start my day? Where do I focus? What do I focus on? How do I make sure that everything gets done and nothing's falling through the cracks? And, you know, how do I make sure that I'm actually accomplishing everything that I set out to accomplish? Yeah, no, there's a million hats that we as entrepreneurs wear on a regular basis. And that is one of those really difficult pieces of how to get yourself from, you know, floundering and figuring out what goes where to truly running your practice. So what do you feel like helped you the most in that aspect?
I believe that it molded and shaped me to become a better businessman, mm-hmm. right? And just kind of learning my weaknesses and strengths and then learning how to talk to people, right? And as a business person, not really, I mean, showing your frustration mm-hmm. when you and a client don't meet mm-hmm. eye to eye, or right. For me, if things are not a good fit, it's not a good fit. And you got to move on knowing that there's another fit out there. You just got to keep digging.
Figuring out where your strengths are and what those weaknesses look like so that you can recognize mm-hmm. what you need to delegate out so that you're not wearing all of those hats all day, every day. You've got to figure out what you're strong at, what those income generating activities are that you're best at. Make sure that that's where your focus is throughout the day so you can get rid of the rest is, you know, exactly how to expand. So please share with us all about your publishing company.
Mainly we have a full We have a full service and self-publishing company where we work with new and current authors on their books from start to finish. And so helping those that have ideas to write a book, but don't know how to get started. We also work with those that have already started their manuscript, now they're looking for ways to get finished and published. And so it's kind of like both sides of the spectrum. And we offer editing support. We, as far as the services that we offer a la carte and package services, but mostly editing, formatting, book cover design. We get them listed on all platforms such as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and 36,000 other retail locations worldwide. We create the marketing materials for the clients. We provide the ISBN number. We process the copyright. They own 100% rights of their own book. We also provide, as far as the marketing, right, creating those marketing materials for social media platforms. If they want to get them printed, they can. They also get X amount of copies of the book. We may do a website for them. So really, it's just a one-stop shop for people that want to write a book.
It's the most comprehensive boutique publishing agency that I have witnessed in the recent past, which was exactly why I invited you on. I was like, wow, this is the most perfect setup. And I wish I had met you, you know, a couple months back when I had actually started the search and before I had done all that I had done. Your packages, they're so comprehensive. Most publishing agencies do not marketing at all for their clients. And that's really left up to the author. And as you know, an author's really not focused on necessarily marketing per se. There's a number of other things that we're doing. And oftentimes our book is just a piece of our practice. It's not what we're doing overall. There's a lot of authors out there who run a business and the book is that marketing tool or that piece that they use to promote their practice. And so they anticipate that somehow this business owner is going to have the time to market or know how to market or set up the funnel for their book. And that's not something that a lot of publishers do. If you had the opportunity to go back, say, 10, 15 years and tell yourself one thing, what do you think that would be?
In 2019, I will probably say, prepare yourself to be the next best version of yourself. And the reason I say that, because in 2019, well, I knew I was kind of in transition, but I didn't know I was in this amount of transition in my life, right? So really, I'm kind of preparing myself to be the next best version of myself. And it comes mentally, spiritually, financially. That also comes with working out. I know I'm in transition in my life. I also want to transform myself too, right? I want to be like a new William Lee.
Prepare to be the very best next version of you. I love it.
Yeah.
So the show is really designed to assist entrepreneurs with developing an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. As a publisher, we'd love to know if you have the ability to wave a magic wand and change anything at all in your business operationally, what do you feel that would be and why, and how do you feel like it would affect the publishing industry?
If I had a magic wand to change the world, I mean, for the betterment of humanity and equal access and equal opportunity, what I would do is I would close the wealth gap. And if I could do something like that where minorities are owning everything, and that's what I would change. And that's what I want to see.
Closing the wealth gap. I think that is something that we as a community should all be working on.
The magic wand, like if I could just click it and it happens today. But of course, we got to work on this, right? This is something we have to come. We need to do more economic protests instead of shouting and screaming and looking crazy, right? We all need to sit down and we need to see how can we put our monies together. Right. So that's how you create change.
No, lasting change doesn't come overnight. It definitely
is.
You know, collaboration, cooperation, and real time spent doing so. But we as a community need to work towards it. And I'm sure there are ways that we as the technology equals equality community can come up with additional ways. So for those of you who do have ideas or would like to contribute to this thought process, please don't hesitate to comment, share, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. William, you have been outstanding. I truly appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate this opportunity.
William, thank you again for sharing your journey with the community and techie community. If you have a book burning inside of you, wait no more. Reach out to Will at leespress.net to get your manuscript done today. Or you can always reach him through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/William Lee. Thank you once again for joining us. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. It truly does help the show. Until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.